Hi, everyone. Welcome to the West Wellness and Longevity Podcast. My name is Tara West, and I am a functional nutritionist, passionate about how we can use food as medicine and truly heal our bodies. I'm also obsessed with longevity with a love for peptides, fitness, and all the latest and greatest biohacking resources. I spend hours upon hours looking at the latest research and implementing them into my own life and in my practice with my clients. I look forward to sharing all of this wonderful information with you. Hey guys, quick reminder, this podcast is for information purposes only and not meant to treat or diagnose. So please consult with your personal health practitioner prior to implementing anything that you hear about on this show. Now on to the next episode. Okay, welcome back everyone. Before I get started today, two things. My dogs are being extra rowdy. I have two little schnauzers and they are barking a lot this morning. So hopefully I can edit that out, but if you hear that in the background, I apologize in advance. And secondly, I realize that this episode is episode number 50. And I started this podcast a little over a year ago, and I just am blown away by how quickly it's grown, that people actually want to listen to me. My kids can't do it. They say it's cringy because I'm their mom, which whatever, but I get that. But I'm excited that all of you that listen do not find me cringy and keep coming back to listen and keep sharing this podcast. It really is a labor of love for me, and I truly do love bringing you all of this information. So on that note, let's just dive in today's topic. And when I was thinking about topics, which I often do, this one has come up so much recently that I thought I have to do an episode on it. And this one truly should be, I know I always say this, but it truly should be short and sweet. And that is, does NAD plus cause cancer? Because you'll be out there talking, oh, I'm on NAD plus, or I'm thinking about getting on NAD plus. And then someone says, oh no, so-and-so told me that causes cancer and you shouldn't do that and blah, 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 whatever. Okay. And I'm not meaning that it's not an important conversation. It is an important conversation, and it's one that's not fully answered yet. So I'm just going to go ahead and give you the bottom line answer here. This is a question that is not fully answered. And so I am going to talk about what we do know and what my personal opinion is on this. But as always, I want you to go do your own due diligence. A lot of these things we discuss in regards to peptides, and NAD plus is not a peptide, but all the things that we discuss in regards to these things that help, in theory, promote longevity and wellness and that sort of thing, they're novel. A lot of them are. Some of them aren't, but a lot of them are. And so we're going off anecdotal information, either by personal use or by someone like me or by someone else that you've heard about or read about, or we're going off animal studies, that sort of thing, which there's nothing wrong with that. Obviously, I'm a big believer in that, and I've reaped the benefits of these things myself and seen them work firsthand, or I wouldn't be in the space that I'm in. It's also why I want to do this, so I can get more of this information out to each and every one of you. But let's dive into what NAD plus is before we start answering the question of, can it cause cancer? Okay. And I've done several episodes on NAD plus, and there's even more information out now than there was when I did those episodes. That's another reason why I wanted to talk about this particular question. And just know this is a fast moving target. So you could come back 6 months from now and there could be a whole new study out there that blows everything I'm about to say out of the water, which again is why I'm going to emphasize, sorry, I sound like a broken record here, that you continue to stay on top of these things yourself. All right, what is NAD or NAD plus? I'll probably say both because they're interchangeable, so I go back and forth and say both. So just know when I say NAD or NAD plus, it's the same thing. But NAD plus is nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, which is why we refer to it, like many of these things, as NAD. And it is a coenzyme molecule that's present in every single one of our human cells. And it's essential for things like energy production and mitochondria, which we know is the powerhouse of our cells, keeps us moving and going. It's essential for things like DNA repair, which is important as we age because our DNA repair actually starts to decline. And that's when we start seeing things like cancer and neurodegenerative diseases, et cetera. It's also essential for cell stress and longevity pathways. So it helps repair the things that our daily stress overload, which is just far too common in our world today. And our longevity cells and DNA start to deteriorate as well, like everything else when we get older. And so it's essential for helping repair those things too. And immune signaling. And if you look at the 12 hallmarks of aging, all these things fall into one of those categories. So it is very impactful as we age. NAD declines up to 40% by the time we are 40. And being that I just turned 50, that's, oh, I wonder what it is at 50 and beyond. But that's pretty significant if you think about what this does. And it makes a lot of sense when we start talking about things like brain fog, energy loss, just feeling a little bit lousy, just not quite like ourselves, why that is and how NAD plus is a pretty big factor in all of that and why it's so popular right now. But what does the science say about if it causes cancer or not? I'm also bringing you a very oversimplified version of this. I'm not a doctor and I'm interpreting some pretty complicated data, but I also want to bring it in a digestible form to each and every one of you so it will make sense to you. I am going to put a lot of the links in the show notes. So I encourage you to go down that rabbit trail and digest this information on your own. I actually had a Bible study teacher that told me once years ago that he was giving us his interpretation of what scripture said in the Bible through his lens, and that we needed to go back and take what he said, but also read it through our own lens and not just trust his. So I'm going to tell you to do the same thing. Read the information through your own lens. So maybe I've heightened your interest in this, but it's imperative that you go do this research yourself. Okay. All right. So let's talk about what. Are you curious about peptides, but totally lost on where to start? You're not alone, and I've been there myself. And that's why I created my free peptide guide to help you cut through the confusion and understand what each peptide does and how their specific protocols work. And if you want to go deeper, I open up just a few spots each month for one-on-one peptide consultations where we create a completely personalized protocol just for you. You can grab the free guide and find all the details on how to book a consultation in the show notes of this episode. So whether you're brand new to peptides or ready to take your peptide game to the next level, this is your starting point. Now back to the episode. The science says regarding NAD and cancer. So many tumors depend on NAD plus to fuel their metabolism, and it can often upregulate some of the enzymes that contribute to cancer. And suppressing NAD is actually being used in a lot of cancer treatments and has shown some promise. So it's easy to come to the conclusion that it contributes to cancer. But on the other hand, healthy tissues require NAD plus for their genomic stability and immune function. Because when those things start going wrong, that's when you start to see cancer developed. So too little NAD plus can impair DNA repair and antitumor immunity. So one of the studies that came out that showed some concern is a mouse model of a triple negative breast cancer. And the nicotinamide riboside, which is NR, this is a precursor to NAD plus. So you have to have NR and NMN to produce NAD in your bodies. Okay. So it was showing that this NR supplementation was associated with increased cancer prevalence and brain metastasis. And this is an animal study with one tumor context, but this is one that is often cited as the caution of using NAD plus supplementation. Okay. There's also other data that shows, it was another mouse model that reported that NAD plus and a different type of cancer suppressed metastasis. So the point is that the context matters here. Different tumor types, different dosing, different cell states. provided mixed results across models. Are there any human studies out there? Let's talk about that. So to date, no human clinical trial has demonstrated an increased cancer incidence from NAD plus augmentation from supplementation from the precursors like NR and NMN or from IV NAD plus. Existing trials are short-term, a few weeks to a few months, small and not powered to detect cancer outcomes. Okay, so some of the stuff that's out there right now that's currently being done is not necessarily being studied for cancer outcomes. So we just need to understand that the long-term cancer endpoint data here is lacking. We don't have a lot of it. And so the biology ends up being dual-edged, right? Tumors often rely on this NAD+, but normal tissues need it for the DNA repair and immunity response that help prevent cancer. So these preclinical results are super mixed, which is why it's so confusing. But so far, the human evidence does not show an increased cancer risk, okay? I think what we have to keep in mind is that it may not contribute to the cause of cancer, but if you have certain types of unhealthy cancer cells floating around in your body, it could cause increased risk of that growing quicker, stronger, and metastasizing faster. And the thing is with cancer, you may know or you may not know, but what was surprising to me years ago when I read about this is that before cancer actually shows up on a scan or in often cases with breast cancer, if you feel a lump, it's been growing in your body for 10 plus years at that point. And so I think the fear is that, and the unknown is that if you have these cancer cells, and we all have cancer cells floating around in our body, is the NAD plus going to cause it to grow faster or allow our body to not fight it off because it's proliferating the growth at a rate that our body can't control? That's the question, right? That's the big question here. And again, I think it depends on the type of cancer. We know it doesn't cause cancer, but then you have to look at the opposite side of this. It can restore our body to function in ways with the cellular resiliency and the immune function that it provides us that starts to decline as we get older. That's essential for keeping cancer at bay. So it's a double-edged sword. So I wish that I had a really clear picture for you here, but unfortunately, I just don't. So when it comes to should you take it, should you not take it, that has to be a personal choice. Here's my opinion on it. If you have strong genetics leading towards cancer, I would say you might want to really think about using NAD+. And I would speak to someone that really specializes in that field before you would make that decision. If you actively have cancer, again, that's not something that I would recommend that you take, obviously. Or if you've had cancer in the past, this may be something that you want to stay away from just because we don't know yet. We don't know what the outcome might be. But it's something that's being researched a lot and it's changing all the time. And so one of the things that I wanted to add a little tag on to this episode is how the research has changed even from the last episode that I recorded about NAD. And what I said on that episode, if you go back and listen, is that we really weren't sure why the NAD gave us the feelings that it gives us of that great steady energy, increased focus and that sort of thing, because there really wasn't any scientific evidence that it actually got into our cells. And so it was a question mark, but the newer research has come out. When you get on an NAD plus IV or an injection, and just so you know, sidebar, I've never done the IVs. I've only done the injections, but it's going straight into your bloodstream, which sounds like it should instantly fill your cells with NAD plus, but there's a catch. NAD can't just walk through the cell wall. So here's what really happens. Once it's in your blood, NAD is broken down very quickly into the smaller building blocks like NMN, NR. Your cells can pull those building blocks inside and then rebuild their own NAD+. So it's actually getting into your system and it's breaking it down to give you a big dose of those precursors to increase your NAD levels. And this process happens super fast. In one human study of NAD+, it almost disappeared from the bloodstream the first 2 hours of the infusion. That's because your body was processing it and using it, not because it just vanished. By the end of the infusion, blood levels of those building blocks were higher, and your urine shows more NAD+ byproducts, meaning it was both being used and cleared. So yes, NAD+ IVs and injections can help your cells make more NAD+, but not because the whole NAD molecule slips directly into your cells. It works more like delivering a box of parts to the factory, and then your body takes the parts inside and then assembles what it needs. And again, this is a very oversimplified version of what happens, but now we have a better understanding of what these injections and these infusions actually do. So I will tell you my own personal experience, and yes, I do the NAD plus injections. I do a lower dose of them. I personally am not a huge believer in these big infusions, and I say that with not ever having done one. And to me, there's no science behind this. It's just how my brain thinks about it, that our body doesn't naturally get giant infusions of NAD plus on a daily basis. So I'm a fan of pulsing things, including things like hormones, et cetera, the way our body would more naturally use it. And so for me, that's a low daily dose or 5 days on, 2 days off protocol. I always say start with 25 milligrams and you can move up. Most people that I've worked with go up to the 50 milligram mark. There are some people that go a little higher, but I would say most people get the result they want at that 50 milligrams a day mark. I personally don't take 50 milligrams. I take anywhere from 30 to 40. That's what works for me. I find anything higher than that, I'll get a little bit of a headache in the afternoon. And in fact, right before I recorded this episode, I had someone reach out to me saying that she had heard taking NAD plus every day can make you feel anxious or give you anxiety. I have never personally experienced that, but I also don't take super high doses. So I can't speak to that. What I will say as far as mood and what anecdotally I have experienced and what I know a lot of people that I've worked with have experienced is the opposite. You get this mental clarity, this mental focus, you feel really good, and it's this stable, steady energy. So I think maybe the anxiousness might come from too high of a dose overstimulating your system, but that is not based on any scientific evidence. That is just simply my thought process on that. And so just to summarize and close out this episode, I would say use NAD plus with caution, particularly if you have cancer background personally, especially if you are dealing with cancer right now, or if you have a really strong genetic predisposition for any type of cancer, I would be very hesitant to start an NAD plus protocol. It is important to listen to your body and see how you feel and how you react. If you're one of these people that feels really bad when you take the injections, and at the lower doses, I don't experience that very much, but then don't take it. There's an episode that I recorded about how I messed up and I was overwhelming my mitochondria with too much, and NAD plus had the opposite effect on me. So I quit taking it. I got some things worked out within my own system, came back to it, and now I absolutely love it. So like I always say, you've got to have your stuff in balance. You need to have your nutrition. That's the foundation to everything. Be eating high protein, eliminate processed foods, fruits, vegetables, organic. Your hormones need to be in balance. You need to be working out and exercising, having all of those pieces right, your sleep, all of it, for these things to really work in the right way. Once you start getting out of balance, anything you're adding to your body could help contribute to that. And that's where we also start to see some problems. So anyway, that's it for today's episode. Again, I want to thank you guys so much. 50 episodes, hard for me to believe. Can't wait to get to number 100. Hopefully that's just around the corner. And just thanks for your support. Thanks for your support of West Wellness. Thanks for your support of the Peptique. You can go follow on Instagram at West Wellness ATX. and at the Peptique as well. And I think that's it for today, y'all. So until next time, have a blessed day.